peace symbols, love-ins, tie-dye? What do you remember about the late 1960s and early 70s? I'm Kay McIntyre, and today on KPR Presents Free State, Free Spirits at the Watkins Museum of History. We'll also visit with Lawrence author Karen Miriam Goldberg about her latest books, Miriam's Well, A Modern Day Exodus, and Everyday Magic, Field Notes on the Mundane and the Miraculous. But first, a visit to the Watkins Museum in downtown Lawrence. As soon as you part the green and blue love beads and walk inside, you're transported back in time. Free State, Free Spirit is an affectionate look at the counterculture scene of 1960s and 1970s Lawrence. At the heart of the exhibit is a collection of photographs by John Gary Brown, Brownie, as he was known back then.
Lawrence local, who was around and friends with and photographed a lot of these counterculture moments and gatherings, parties. He was known as a guy to hang around with.
Brittany Keegan is the curator and collections manager at the Watkins Museum.
By his own admission, he didn't get as heavy into the drug scene, so he remembers a lot of what happened in the 60s and 70s. So I sat down with him and just picked his brain about what he remembers and his photographs, and he was kind enough to donate copies of some of his photographs to the museum. And so we based the exhibit around those initial, I think it's 15 to 20 photographs he donated. And then through contacts with him and then people just searching around, we were able to widen the discussion to lots of different people in Lawrence. And then for the educational side of this, for people who weren't living in Lawrence at the time, maybe don't remember that time period, we're able to use the photos to talk about how culture was different then, how what was happening was such a big deal and why it was such a big deal.
Brittany, why don't you pick out a couple of your favorite items on display?
Let's talk about this jacket with all of the pins.
Oh my gosh.
So this was this is on loan to us from John Gary Brown, who's the photographer who did a lot of the photographs in this exhibit. And what happened was we were setting up the exhibit. We had kind of pulled everything in line. We had our blue-green paisley dress pulled out, and he wanted to come and see the exhibit as it was being put up. And he saw the dress, he saw the photographs, and he goes, "Oh, I got the perfect thing to go with this exhibit. I will be right back." So he left, drove home, and came back with this. Now, this jacket has pins on it and buttons going back to the 1960s. He has original Make Love Not War buttons. He has cultural things like the smiley face buttons from that time period, things that say, you know, be peculiar, peace signs. And then he really kind of kept going into the 70s and 80s because it's just a great time capsule from a number of years culturally in America. It's been a great artifact to have in the exhibit.
Just to point out a couple of the pins that are here, one says stoned. One says, end the war in Vietnam. Another, I'm a foozer.
Yeah, some of them, they're deep cut references that I, as a person who was not part of that culture, just know that I'm not going to understand, but someone else could walk in and go, oh yeah, I remember that. Some of them are just kind of timely. There are political commentaries all over the place, commentaries on, you know, the look into authority. And so it's been a great thing. We've had students come in and look at the exhibit and they're like, oh yeah, that's funny. I wish I had that button, that sort of thing.
Underneath all the buttons, I want to point out the fabric that this is made out of. This is an old, well-worn denim jacket, and even the presence of denim and the wearing of that was, in many ways, even though denim's history goes way back, the wearing of blue jeans and denim jackets was very much also a kind of a cultural touchstone.
Yeah, well, the idea of informality too, and that this was a culture coming out of, you know, the 40s and 50s, where it was very stylized, very tailored. Everyone was going somewhere in either a suit or a uniform of some kind. If you looked at, you know, Boy Scout uniforms in the 50s and 60s, they look like military uniforms. They look like army uniforms. So the idea that, no, we're going to take denim and we're going to wear, we're going to be more relaxed, more casual all the time, it really set a tone, and you kind of get, you start understanding why the reaction to the counterculture was the way it was, that they were ascribed with things like being lazy and maybe not wanting to take part or get a job, those things that may or may not have been true, because of course some of the people we talked to in making this exhibit, they were working full time. One of the women who donated some photos and lent some photos and artifacts for the exhibit, I asked her if she attended any wild parties or anything. She's like, no, I had a job. I had to get up and go to work the next day. But the idea that if you wear more informal clothing, then maybe it's seen as not being as engaged.
Or at least you were rejecting kind of your parents' work world. And I say that as someone who's a kid in the 60s and 70s. And I remember very distinctly, in that era, my dad went to work every day wearing a hat. Mm-hmm. And kind of when that became less popular, when it was okay to go downtown without a hat.
Yeah, yeah. And it's things like, you know, you wouldn't think about going anywhere and not have a tie. You know, the idea of, you know, women going to church with a hat, and just the formality with the way everyone carried themselves of that previous generation really hung on, and there you can see the differences immediately. There's a great photo, a couple of our counterculture hippies walking down the street with an older Lawrence person in the background, and he's very kind of formalized. He's wearing a cowboy hat, but he's wearing a crisp white shirt that's clearly been ironed, and he's wearing slacks. And then you have the blue jean denim, relaxed bohemian style of our counterculture friends in front.
Let's walk over here. We've got, it's not just a window shade, it's a map of Lawrence back in the 60s. Brittany, can you describe this?
Yes, so this was made, so the map itself was made in the 80s. A group of people came back to Lawrence for what they called the River City Reunion. And as part of it, this was 87, I think, 88, but part of it was they made this map of where all the old hangout locations were in the late 60s, early 70s. So we have things like bars people would go to, the restaurants people really liked, and then you have other things like the party houses and the hangout spots. So John Gary Brown, who is the photographer, he's listed, you see Brownie's house is listed there on 6th Street, where he was living at that time period. So it's a way of kind of encapsulating hippie culture in Lawrence in the late 60s, early 70s.
Just to point out some of the places that are listed on here, Sandy's Drive-In, Midnight Movies at the Hillcrest Theater, The Hole in the Wall, Joe's Bakery, Moore's Burgers, Lenny Zero's, and Strawberry Fields.
Yeah, Strawberry Fields was a head shop in town. They sold a number of things, but they were also the place to go to get paraphernalia. And one of the interesting things in doing this exhibit is one of the people we talked to who lent things for the exhibit worked at Strawberry Fields. And so she was happy to share her recollection of working there. And then she shared some of her artifacts from the time period as well. And then, so we've got great photos of Strawberry Fields and some of the accounts of not only that, but other head shops that used to be in town.
Talk to me about how you went about representing drug culture of the time.
Well, you know, it was something that we knew played a part and we knew needed to be acknowledged. And it was something that had degrees, because some people were would, you know, go to a party, or they would have a very kind of casual relationship to it. And then there were some people who were deeply into drug culture, as we would see it. There's a picture of a person on our U-shaped wall in the exhibit, and he's got sort of a crazy beard, and he's wearing an aviator helmet. And he was an artist. He was a cartoonist who would drop acid to draw what he saw while he was dropping acid. So we knew this was, there were degrees in that it was an integral part of the story. So what we did is just try to represent it as best we could in the time period, not condoning and not particularly condemning either, because it was something that people did. So what we do have an account of the first acid brought to Lawrence, because there was a whole incident around that, and we have some images that the cartoonist I mentioned he drew, and other artists as well. So it's something we wanted to acknowledge.
Can you describe that incident of the first acid coming to Lawrence?
Yeah. So what happened was two guys went to Chicago to buy some the makings of it, essentially, and they learned while they were there how to make it. But in coming back, they forgot the dosage amount and accidentally doubled it. And what happened was everyone immediately, including them, because they were not wearing gloves during this process, were so high that they all started panicking. And so what happened is that all the people they distributed to came and found them, and everyone spent the night together on the lawn just sort of working their way through this high.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's something that when we found that story, we were like, well, I think that needs to be in there, because this seems to be a pivotal moment in this the history as far as the drug use in town.
Brittany, talk to me about people coming in to visit this exhibit.
You know, it's been really interesting, because we've had people who know someone in the photograph, came to see themselves in the photograph. We've had family members come to find pictures of uncle, aunt, grandpa, like that sort of thing. So it's been an interesting experience of people coming in and reminiscing or seeing someone they knew when they were younger. So it's been really good.
For you, as someone who grew up well after the 60s, what's been the most fun thing about putting together this exhibit?
I would say the most fun thing for me has been seeing the connections to situations that are happening now. The idea of protesting an authority maybe that doesn't represent your viewpoints, the feeling of young people feeling like they're not being heard and trying to make a statement or find another cultural aspect way to say, you know, no, we're here, we're important as well. And I think the younger people who have been coming into the exhibit has been connecting with that.
Brittany Keegan is curator and collections manager at the Watkins Museum of History. Their Free State, Free Spirits exhibit is in its final week, and they're going out with a bang. Will Hickox is the public programs coordinator at the museum.
So as you mentioned, Kay, we're going out with a bit of a bang and maybe also a puff of smoke, because we're going to have a two-hour celebration of the exhibit on Friday, June 15th from 6 to 8 p.m., and we're going to have an exhibit tour with Babette Putterbaugh, who was involved in the counterculture movement. She worked at Strawberry Fields, a well-known shop here in Lawrence. She's graciously agreed to come out and give some personal recollections of the time. Brittany, our curator, will also be on hand to talk about the history and the research that went into the exhibit. And as well, we will have a final showing of the Kansas marijuana harvest that 60 Minutes did in 1970. In 1970, marijuana was grown in large quantities in the Lawrence area. I mean, it just grew everywhere around the county, on farms, everywhere you could imagine. And a lot of these young folks who call themselves various names, such as the Kaw Valley Hemp Pickers and the River City Outlaws, some of them were locals, but a lot of them came from far-flung parts of the United States. They came into town and they secretly would harvest this marijuana crop and produce marijuana and then sell it for big bucks, you know, to places like Chicago and New York and San Francisco. And 60 Minutes got wind of this, and Mike Wallace came here with a film crew in 1970, and they shot a very interesting 20-minute segment, which was the first time that 60 Minutes had reported on drugs. And they came to town and they filmed folks who, many of whom were interviewed in disguise with like hats low over their faces, things like that. But they also interviewed members of law enforcement, including at the state level, folks who were trying, futilely in many cases to push back against this this booming industry of marijuana harvesting. And the segment was 20 minutes long. It debuted in November of 1970, and it made a big splash at the time. But from what I could find out in my research, it has never been shown since. And I tracked down the segment to the CBS News archives. We got a DVD copy, and we got the rights to show it. And we showed it here at the museum on the night that we debuted the exhibit. And the turnout was tremendous. All these folks, many of whom remember the events of that very tumultuous year firsthand, came to view that segment. And the level of enthusiasm in the audience was amazing, and they were calling out the names of the folks they recognized on screen, hopefully not to the disappointment of the people who were shown on screen, although I think the statute of limitations had probably passed for many of the activities that they're engaging in the segment. And it was one of those really powerful moments that you only experience, a few times in your lifetime or in your career as a museum staffer, certainly. This exhibit is something that really has touched people in Lawrence, especially the people who remember this time or have parents or grandparents who remember this time. And this is one of a short list of exhibits and activities tying in with the exhibits that have had a really remarkable impact. And that's why we're going to have a closing celebration for the exhibit on June 15th.
Will Hickox is the Public Programs Coordinator at the Watkins Museum of History. As part of Friday evening's closing celebration of Free State, Free Spirits, I'll be on hand recording your memories of Lawrence's counterculture. Whether you are hanging out on Wesco Beach or shopping at Strawberry Fields, stop on by and look for the KPR signs at the Watkins Museum this Friday night. Steve Novak is the director of the Watkins Museum of History.
Steve, do you have a favorite photograph?
Yes, I do, actually. And it's the image that we've used quite a bit with the exhibit, but it's the peace sign window with the woman's face looking through. And I think it's just so evocative of the period. There's kind of an element of mystery to it. It has that iconic peace sign symbol in it, and it's just, you know, it's like a work of art, not just a document from the period.
Talk to me about the response that you've had from people that have come in to see the exhibit.
The response is amazing. Our walk-in attendance is higher than it has ever been, and it's really this exhibit that is drawing people in. We can tell when they're here for it because they already ask at the front door, well, we're here to see the pictures, so we send them on up. And you can tell the people who were actually a part of this in Lawrence by the way they look at the photos. And you see them get up really close and they're pointing, and you know that they're either finding people they know or finding themselves. And they usually share a story or two on the way out. I had the opportunity to sit at the front door for a while a couple of weekends back, and we had a couple in from Seattle that knew the artist. And they were here and said, you know, oh, well, that's me in this picture up there. And then we had another couple, and, you know, they explained how much they enjoyed the exhibit and they were all a part of it. And as they left, the woman flashed me the peace sign. And I thought, you know, this is an exhibit that is allowing people to go back and relive a part of their lives that, you know, really meant something to them.
Steve, you were not here in 1968 or the early 70s, neither was I. Mm-hmm. When you look at these pictures, what do you see that's the same about Lawrence from then to now?
Well, I think the thing that I see the same is the prevalence of youth culture and this association with Lawrence and what's happening right now with young people. And, you know, all over Lawrence, when you see images of Lawrence, you know, in magazines or in advertisements for things going on downtown, there's always a strong presence of young people. And that's what this exhibit is really about. People, you know, in their late teens, early 20s, and what the world looked like from their point of view. And I feel like Lawrence is still a place where that gets projected.
What would you like people to get out of this exhibit, whether they lived through the Lawrence counterculture or not?
I think the most important message that the exhibit sends is that, you know, what we do with our lives and how we connect with our community is going to matter. This is an opportunity for us to look back at this one particular time, but the movements that we see today with Me Too and Never Again, those are things that, you know, 50 years from now will have shaped what our community is like. And I hope this exhibit reminds people, especially young people, that the things that are important to them and the causes that they choose to champion, that they have the opportunity to make change in the community.
Steve Novak is the director of the Watkins Museum in downtown Lawrence. This is the final week for their exhibit, Free State, Free Spirits, Lawrence Counterculture in the 1960s and 1970s. Do join me Friday night at the Watkins Museum. They'll be screening the 60 Minutes feature, The Kansas Marijuana Harvest from 1970, and giving guided tours of the exhibit. I'll be on hand to record your recollections of the era, whether you were in school, protesting the war, or hanging out at Strawberry Fields. We'd love to hear from you. Find out more about the exhibit at the Watkins Museum website or on their Facebook page. I'm Kay McIntyre. You're listening to KPR Presents on Kansas Public Radio.
Yeah, he's an old hippie and he don't know what to do. Should he hang on to the old? Should he grab on to the new? He's an old hippie. This new life is just a bust. He ain't trying to change nobody. He's just trying. Trying to change nobody, he's just trying real hard to adjust.